Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sulzer's Q1 2021 order intake conference call and live webcast. I am Sandra, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Christoph Ladner, Head of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Sandra. Good morning and welcome to Sulzer's Q1 conference call. Today with me is our CEO, Greg Poux-Guillaume, and our CFO, Jill Lee. For this call, we have prepared a presentation which you can find on our homepage. As always, I want to draw your attention on the safe harbor statement on slide number two. The call may contain forward-looking statements containing risks and uncertainties. These statements are subject to change based on known or unknown risks and various other factors, which could cause the actual results or performance to differ materially from the statements made in the call. Having said that, I hand now over to Greg for the presentation. Thereafter, you have the opportunity to ask questions. Greg, please.
Thank you, Christoph. Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure for Jill and I to have you on this call. Let me walk you through our Q1 results. The recovery that started around the summer last year has continued in the first quarter, where our sequential growth was 7.1% organic. We're commenting today both sequential and year-on-year developments, with more focus on sequential for two basic reasons. Sequential is more telling in a recovery phase as it highlights the momentum, and also because Q1 2020, our last pre-pandemic quarter, was actually our highest quarter of order intake in five years, so it distorts the picture a little bit. Orders in all divisions improved sequentially. We see increasing momentum in our commercial pipeline, with March being our best month in orders in over a year. We expect that the second half of the year will be stronger than the first half of the year. Although we do not report other KPIs on a quarterly basis, I can tell you that all our financial indicators are going in the right direction. Sales are up 7% organically year-on-year, but our backlog is still growing with a book-to-bill of 1.08. If you do the math, that gives you sales of around 810 million francs. Keep in mind that Q1 is always the lowest quarter of revenue of the year by far. Also, our EBITA, our profitability, and our free cash flow are significantly above last year in all divisions, and our cost measures are ahead of schedule. Now let me turn to pumps on page four. We said that the first half of 2021 in pumps would look similar to the second half of 2020. The 2% organic sequential growth in the first quarter is in line with our expectations, and we see a positive trend in the second quarter and the second half of the year. Water grew 5% sequentially, or 22% including Nordic Water, which we closed on the 1st of February. Water is now by far the largest segment in our pumps division, with 40% of division order intake. Our ambition is to increase our exposure to water in the industry even further and to continue to dilute the impact of the energy segment cyclicality. Speaking of energy, it was up 2% sequentially, but overall still at a low level. We continue to remain very selective with a strong focus on margins, on margin on order intake, and this has worked out well for us. We expect a rebound in the second half of the year as more projects are materializing in our tender pipeline, as oil prices continue to pick up and customers realize that new capacity will have to be brought online. Finally, industry was 1% down sequentially. Larger projects continue to take longer than normal to be awarded, but the trends are positive in many of our markets, like metals and mining or pulp and paper. Overall, our restructuring is progressing well, and you can expect the profit margin in pumps equipment to continue to improve. Moving to rotating equipment services on page five. Service was up 10.4% sequentially, and business continues to improve. The year-on-year comparisons are unfavorable as Q1 2020 was very high, and because of continued restricted access to certain customer sites, and also because of the winter storm in the U.S., which impacted our operations in Texas. Despite these challenges, we grew in Europe, Middle East, and Africa, and the Americas. Also specifically, we grew in the U.S. Asia was down sequentially, but this was just due to Chinese New Year on a sequential basis, obviously. The rebound in service will continue, and we expect the first half of 2021 to be above the second half of 2020. We also anticipate a further acceleration in the second half of the year as customers start considering longer-term investments such as upgrades and retrofits. Moving on to Chemtech on page 6. Chemtech grew sequentially, but also year-on-year, both by about 7%. The renewable segment, which comprises our biopolymer and recycling technologies, had a very strong start to the year, driven by biopolymers. Regionally, Europe was still depressed. The Middle East and India are recovering, although there are restrictions on India with the spike in the pandemic currently. And Asia-Pacific is significantly up, driven by investments in petrochemicals in China that continue to trend at a very high level with a promising pipeline going forward. The market still suffers from delays in reaching investment decisions for the larger projects, but we expect that to ease in the second half of the year. Moving on to page 7, Applicator Systems. Applicator Systems is already back above pre-pandemic levels, actually up 1.7% organically versus last year. It's continuing its sequential rebound, up more than 12% in Q1 versus Q4 of 2020, with all segments up themselves. So all the segments are individually up and business overall is up. Healthcare, which includes our activities in dental, drug delivery devices, and surgery, is now the largest segment within Applicator Systems, with about 40% of order intake. It's also the most profitable. We've seen very strong orders in adhesives, thanks to a dynamic electronics market. This takes our industry segment to about 35% of Applicator Systems. Finally, beauty is up sequentially, but it's still 9% below pre-pandemic levels, as lockdowns and travel restrictions continue to have a negative impact. We've completed the transformation in beauty, with a factory in Bamberg in Germany closed, and the Bechhofen factory, also in Germany, you know, the extension that we were building is up and running now. So that's behind us, and we're in full fighting mode. Also noteworthy, we received the first commercial order for our revolutionary EcoPack system. EcoPack is a collapsible applicator cartridge that reduces packaging waste by 80%. It's a sustainable product that's won awards and is getting commercial traction now as the world focuses on eliminating waste. I'll complete with page 8, takeaways. Our Q1 orders were solid, above the assumptions we made for our full-year guidance. Sequentially, all four divisions were up. Q1 last year was our last pre-pandemic quarter, but also was the highest quarter, as I said, from an order intake perspective in more than 5 years. So it's not a very useful comparison to illustrate momentum. Sequentially is a better illustration of what's happening in the business. I would instead stress that we've seen a recovery quarter over quarter since the trough in orders in Q3 of last year. In pumps, we increased our exposure to water through organic growth, but also the acquisition of JWC in 2018 and Nordic Water in 2021. Making water 40% of our pumps business now, and it'll continue to grow and we'll continue to strengthen it. If I take service, it's back to sequential growth, and we see an acceleration in the second half of the year when retrofits and parts sales should pick up and as site access becomes more manageable as the vaccination moves on and customers give access to their sites again. Chemtech's growth is driven by our renewable technologies, particularly biopolymers, and also by China, which continues to trend at a very high level. Site access constraints limit turnaround works in Chemtech, but that should also ease in the second half of the year. Applicator Systems is back above pre-pandemic levels, with healthcare representing 40% of the business and leading the way in terms of the pickup, the growth. We're gaining market share in all segments in Applicator Systems by continuing to serve our customers effectively despite an overheated supply chain. And as I said at the beginning, although we don't report them on a quarterly basis, we can also say that sales, operational profit, profitability, as well as free cash flow are all well above last year's level and ahead of our guidance assumptions. We're leaving our guidance unchanged, but we will reassess it in our H1 results that will be published on July 22. With that, we're at the end of the presentation, and Jill and I are happy to take your questions.
The first question comes from Patrick Rafaisz from UBS. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I have three questions, please. The first one is on your comments around the guidance, where you mentioned that you were trending ahead of assumptions for the first quarter. Does that also mean that you're starting into the second quarter ahead of your assumptions, or are your assumptions, or were your assumptions maybe too high for the rest of the year, so that your guidance actually still makes a lot of sense just with a different quarterly mix? That's the first one. The second one is looking at APS and the M&A impact. The contribution from Haselmeier looked a bit small. Can you talk about maybe a potential seasonal pattern here? And then lastly, renewables, biopolymers. At the full year 20 conference call, you mentioned that sales from these kind of activities could potentially double from the 50 million base in 2020. With the trends you're seeing today, is that still a reasonable assumption? Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. So taking your questions one by one, the guidance, we're not touching our guidance because it's awkward to have a look at our guidance in Q1 when we only report order intake, and our guidance is on order intake, sales, and profitability. But we're trending ahead of our assumptions. We're starting Q2 also trending ahead, and we think we look good versus what we had assumed for the year, and if things continue on the same momentum, it's likely that we'd revise potentially some of the parameters upwards at the first half of the year. But as we only give order intake at this point, it just didn't make sense to get into that now. But yeah, we're happy with the start of the year. We're ahead of our guidance assumptions. We're ahead of our budget assumptions. Our businesses are picking up faster than what we anticipated. And when we look at things going ahead in terms of the pipeline that we have, we feel good about the year. If I take Applicator Systems, the contribution of Haselmeier, I can't say I looked at it specifically, but what I can tell you is that in April, we've booked a significant order for Haselmeier for our new Deflex platform, something that we're quite excited about. I think it's in the range of something like 6 million francs, if I recall the number correctly. So everything's going according to plan in Haselmeier. I can't remember when we'd forecasted this Deflex order, but things are going well, and our new platform is picking up commercial momentum. So I'd say so far so good. Jill, you have anything to add on that specifically?
Yeah, I mean, Haselmeier, you're right that Q1 going in, you know, that there's a bit of project thing, but overall, we see a stronger Q2 compared to Q1. So it's pretty much, as Greg has mentioned, that we have a larger project coming into Q2, and that should bring the Q2 to a stronger level. But overall, it's progressing like we have expected.
Yeah, the larger project's already booked on, just to be clear. It's coming into Q2. It's like it was booked in the first 2 weeks. So it's commercial momentum is good, and we're very happy with the way Haselmeier is integrating into Sulzer and Applicator Systems specifically. If I take your renewable question, the biopolymer question on Chemtech, and my previous comment that we believe that business could as much as double in 2021. The start of the year confirms that ambition. We're happy with the way we're starting, and we're happy with the pipeline that we have, and we think that 2021 has all the hallmarks of a very good year for that business. So I continue to have that ambition to double for the year. What we have in our numbers and our guidance is actually lower than that, because we're conservative people, but that's certainly the ambition I have for that business this year. Did I answer your questions, Patrick?
Yes. Thank you very much. Very helpful.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Aurelio Calderon from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, Greg, Jill. Thanks for taking my questions. I guess, given that this is just an order release, will be a little bit more big picture from my side today. So first question is on your water business, which is, I think you said it's now 40% of BE. I guess my question is, one, given that you now have acquired Nordic Water and you're bringing in new products that you didn't have, is this business worth a standalone division right now? And I guess, fast forward 5 years, where do you think this business could be in terms of a percentage of group sales? And I'll take the other two after this one, if possible.
Yeah, Aurelio, do you have another question? You want me to address that one first?
I'll
address it now. One might as well be sequential. So, the water business is we've made acquisitions to complete the product portfolio. We believe we've got a very competitive product portfolio now. We're also growing organically at a rate that's higher than market. I mean, this is a market that should grow, 3 to 5% year in and year out, and we ambition to do more than that. We also see other acquisitions that we could make to strengthen that business, because there's still an element of a fragmentation in the water space. You've got a very big player in Xylem, but everybody else behind that is smaller. We believe that we can be a very competitive and attractive number two in that space as we progressively close the gap, and we see other things that make sense for us out there. So a combination of organic and external growth. Would we make it standalone? It's not on the order of discussion today, because it's managed by a dedicated team that runs the water business. It is part of the division, and it benefits from some of the functions that it shares with the rest of the division, but it's really run as a separate business. You know, it has different characteristics from the energy business, for example. If I take some markets like the U.S., there's a lot of the sales are through distributors, which would be very unusual for the energy business. So it's a different animal. It's run like a different animal, because you have to run it to the specifics of what that business needs and what it entails. And if it ever got to a size where it made sense to look at it differently, we would. But we still think we've got a little bit of runway before we start asking ourselves those questions. And it's a business that I've given profitability indications on and off over the years. I mean, it's a business that we expect to be around 10% EBIT this year. And we think that that's certainly not a ceiling. We believe that we've got more runway to not only grow the business, but also improve the profitability of the business. So it's a business that we like, and that we believe we've got a number of good moves to make going forward. Did I answer your question, Aurelio?
Yeah, that's very helpful. And I guess another question I have, and this is made more in current trading. I guess on applicator systems, the rebound that we've seen in year on year and sequentially has been very strong. I think it's going to be very difficult to flesh out what is kind of pent up demand or catch up from and kind of the very low 2Q and even 3Q levels and what's underlying market growth. But I don't know if you have any indication around what's pure market growth and what's just catch-up effect from lockdowns in 2020.
It's a really good question, Aurelio, and it's a really good question to which I don't have a really good answer, because it's hard to sort out, as you said. If you go back to what I've been saying over the last, since the summer, I've really been cautious in my communication. Every time we were growing faster than we'd anticipated, we mentioned pent-up demand, restocking, and so on. But the more we move forward, the more I'm starting to wonder whether this is really restocking, because the trends continue to be strong. We're not seeing a slowdown at this point. I do believe there's an element of maybe unsustainable momentum. And if you take the adhesives business and specifically the electronics market, that is really a booming market currently. Can these growth rates last for the long term? You know, probably there's a moment where that settles a little bit. But if you have a look at the beauty business is still like 9% down versus pre-pandemic, because you still have the lockdowns and part of retail that's not accessible. So I think it's a mixed bag. I think beauty, the growth should accelerate. Adhesives, maybe that slows down a little bit at one point because there's probably some sort of restocking effect, at least for part of it. But if I take healthcare, I just think these are the current trends. I don't think we're overheating in healthcare. I think the dental growth is strong, but it's not crazy strong. And as I said, Haselmeier is a bit lumpy because when you introduce a new platform and you have these early wins, then you get these lumpy orders. But I think overall, we feel good about the way applicators is trending. And if anything, we may be overly cautious in the way we communicate about it because of our insistence on mentioning the words restocking. As I said, when I do business reviews with the applicator systems guys, they see a continuing strong momentum.
Okay, that's very helpful. I'll go back to the queue. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Charlie Fehrenbach from AWP. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. I'm wondering if you could put your actual guidance for the current year into relationship to the year 2019, and how close you will come to pre-COVID levels. I guess you won't reach the pre-COVID levels yet. Is this correct?
Well, 2019, we did 10% EBITDA. We guided for 2021 for close to pre-pandemic levels. What did we say specifically, Jill?
Close to 10.
Yeah. And I think that the debate is the debate that we'll have the question that we'll have to answer with our H1 results is on which side of 10 are we going to be? Because if I look at how the year is starting pretty well. As I said, we're in profitability. We're much higher than Q1 of last year, despite the fact that Q1 of last year was pre-pandemic. So, you know, I'd say so far so good. In terms of volumes, if you have a look at 2020, we were 4% down in order intake organically. We were 5% down in terms of sales. And if you refer to our guidance today, we're saying that, what are we saying exactly, Jill? Remind me the numbers of our guidance.
3 to 6 for orders and 5 to 7 for sales.
So then you have to do the math of if you're 5% down and then you're 5% up the year after, you're not exactly back to the previous level. But the point I'm trying to make, maybe in a rambling way, is that the year is starting off well, and if you have a look at the real impact of the pandemic on Sulzer, I would really stress that the pandemic has had a limited impact on Sulzer. I mean, once again, look at 2020, 4% down for orders, 5% down for sales. Profitability went from 10 to 9. And a year later, we're telling you we'll be back at 10. So I think that if I could leave you with one idea, is that Sulzer is actually a lot more resilient than that many investors and observers give us credit for. And I think we're demonstrating that. But you've got the resilience, so you've got the protection on the downside, but you still have the you still have the interesting cyclical upside, which is that we've mitigated the downside aspect of our energy business. But if you look forward, we're quite capable of ramping up volumes when that market recovers, and we're capable of doing that despite the fact that we reduced our footprint and we restructured and re-limited our costs. So I'd say good downside protection, which we demonstrated last year and which we're showing in our guidance for this year, and upside that hasn't materialized yet that is still part of the story. Did that answer your question, Charlie?
Yeah, more or less. Just to summarize, with volumes, you assume that you will be at least close to the pre-COVID levels, if not equal.
Yes, I mean, there's always the exchange impact and all that, but overall, from the business other than energy, we're definitely up. And then we have the impact on the energy piece. If you look to profitability, I think when I look to Q1 and here, you know, I see already Q1 compared to Q1 2019, we're actually better. And that's coming from the fact that we have good volume momentum in Q1. We have the operating leverage from that. We have better mix too, because we have now water and also APS up, and we have taken actions early last year. We talked about 40 million of cost impact coming from structural actions taken last year, and we are seeing this going into our bottom line. So all in all, you know, all this brings us actually to a level that is compared to Q1 2019 higher. And that makes us positive about the assumptions that we have come into the year. But, you know, as the conditions can be volatile, we prefer to wait till H1 to make our reassessment on the guidance for the year.
So what Jill is telling you, Charlie, is that she's saying kind of yes, but she'll give you numbers at the half year, and please wait until the half year. But, okay. You know, Charlie, you've been following us for a long time, and I think... We probably can agree that we've been pretty reliable in terms of delivering or beating our guidance over the last 5 years. I don't think we've ever negatively surprised over that period. You might see us sometimes as a little bit conservative, but at least you know where to hang your hat.
I find that, yeah. Finally, you seem to be pretty optimistic for the full year.
You know, I'm a naturally optimistic person, Charlie. But
great.
I also see, you know, look around you. There is good momentum. I think the momentum exists for the market in general. Economic recovery. People are spending. You see that in the consumer related activities, which is not the lion's share of Sulzer. But you also see that. That there's a number of markets that we're in that are picking up because the activity level, the investment level is trending up. So we're optimistic overall for the market, but we're also optimistic for Sulzer within that market because we believe that we've handled the pandemic well. Our teams have been very effective in mitigating the impact. They've been very effective in continuing to serve our customers during that period. And you have to keep in mind that you had the pandemic period where some of our competitors had to shut down and we were able to keep our people safe and therefore to keep our facilities open and operating. But then there's the period coming out of the pandemic where a lot of people have supply chain issues. And we've juggled our supply chain because we have the advantage of being global and being able to anticipate some of these movements. And that allowed us to continue serving our customers and to, I believe, to win market share over that period. So positive for the market and positive for our role within the market. I'd say if you told me a year ago at the beginning of the pandemic that we'd be where we are today, I would have been very happy.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Charlie.
The next question comes from Alessandro Foletti from Octavian. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Do you hear me?
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much. I have three brief questions, actually. On the Nordic water business, You remember we discussed about it last time. Can you confirm that this business is on track to reach your expectations for this year?
It's actually above expectations.
Okay, great, perfect. The second question on the remarks that you made in rotating equipment service that the beginning of the year was sort of difficult in Asia, but only due to the Chinese New Year. I was wondering, why is the Chinese New Year relevant this year? It comes every year.
Alessandro, I was very careful. I told you the sequential number. I told you that for the sequential number, you have to keep in mind that Chinese New Year happens in Q1, not in Q4. That's all. Chinese New Year actually happens every year. I have that from a reliable source, and Jill confirms that Chinese New Year happens every year. So, it was really a comment on the sequential number, nothing else. The service business overall is starting off the year well. The main point that we're making on service is that people are investing in things like repairs because these are lower spend type of items, and they're still a bit slow in investing in replenishing their spare parts stock or going for things like refurbishment that are a bit more ambitious. We see that picking up later in the year. But, you know, we're happy with the first part of the year. We're certainly happy with our Q1 in service.
All right. Thank you. Then I have another question, maybe split in two parts regarding the healthcare business in APS. You mentioned that is the most profitable business. I was wondering if you meant healthcare within APS.
Healthcare is the most profitable business within APS, and it's probably the most profitable. I mean, it's not probably. It's the most profitable business within Sulzer.
Right. Okay. And then on the Haselmeier, the large project. I mean, 6 million is really seems to me really quite a large project. Is that part of intrinsic in that business, or is this only sort of momentary situation because you're changing this platform? I would expect that this business is much smaller, given it is more consumable stuff.
No, the Haselmeier business it's a drug delivery device business. So essentially, it's self-injector pens, auto-injector pens for things like fertility, diabetes, rare diseases, and so on. So the way it works is that we are a technology developer. So what we do is we develop our own products, our own delivery devices, and they have unique selling proposition that we pitch to the pharma companies and the biotech companies. And what these guys have to do is very early in the development phase of a new drug that they have to decide what is going to be the delivery device that they use for the drug. And they have to decide very early because that delivery device is part of the regulatory approval of the drug. And therefore, you have these discussions where you've got customers kind of kicking the tires to your device and having a look at what the other products available on the market are. And then what you have is the 6 million order that we booked in April, it's a new customer choosing our new platform, D-Flex, for a new drug that they haven't introduced to the market yet. And 6 million corresponds to the pre-commercial order where they are essentially working with us to go through regulatory approval so that they can essentially launch the drug commercially. So it sounds like a big order, but it's actually the early phase of something bigger that will happen down the road. Does that answer your question, Aurelio? I'm sorry, Alessandro?
Yes, partially. Just to understand, and like, if you stick to this 6 million, it seems to me it's like, they have to approve this new drug. So they go with the system, including on the one hand the drug and on the other hand the delivery. But is this something that they ask you to deliver the 6 million like in the next quarter? Or is this like more of a, I don't know the word in English, Rahmenauftrag, something like that, that goes then over certain years?
Yeah.
And then the real orders depends from the consumption at the end of the pipe, at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, we try to avoid booking multi-year orders that don't generate sales in the short term. I mean, in the current year plus or minus. So overall, for Sulzer, whether it's an APS or any other businesses, even when we have a multi-year framework type of thing, we usually don't book the multiple years. We only book the part that's relevant to kind of the trading period plus or minus. Because otherwise, it distorts the picture. You know, it gives you the wrong expectation of what should happen. But it's Haselmeier has good momentum. Part of the attraction of Haselmeier is we bought them right at the time when they had started to commercialize their new platform, their new pen platform. And this order that we've booked in April is the first significant order for that pen platform. So it's just a validation of the fact that we've bought something that has good products in the pipeline.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Alessandro. Other questions?
So there are no more questions in the call and also no additional questions in the webcast. So maybe some closing remarks.
All right, closing remarks. I'd say two things. I'd say that Sulzer resisted the pandemic in 2020, I thought, quite well, in the sense that low volume impact, limited profitability impact, we rode through the storm, despite the view that some of you may have that we're an industrial business and it's very disruptive. Well, we managed. Our people did really well. We used our global presence and our agility to manage that difficult period. And we're now starting the year 2021 on a good note. We have a Q1 that we're happy about on all metrics. And we look positively upon the rest of the year because we think that, if anything, the trend will accelerate. So we'll update you guys in more granularity, more detail at the half year. But I'd say so far so good. And our acquisitions that we've made are paying off. They're all delivering above their business case, whether it's Haselmeier or Nordic Water for the first quarter. It's a year that starts on an optimistic note, and we'll update you at a half year to tell you how we see the rest of the year. On that, I thank you for your time, and I look forward to talking to you soon.